saying that that shouldn't be that way, because I think that there is the problem that Senator Ray has pointed out and various other individuals, that under your Constitution, only the legislature can decide who should be expelled, who should be a member. And so these things, and so it really has to be made by the legislature. But then, why are you going through all of the steps in order to get down to the same basic place that you were a year ago, or you are now? In other words, in Senator Holman's case, for example, and this is one that obviously grates on a number of the nerves of most of the people in the public, you would still have to go through this whole rigmarole. Your whole commission would have to sit and have an investigation and have all of their testimony, and then they would have to have their decision, and then they would turn around and make a recommendation to the legislature, and then the legislature would still have to make a decision. Now, in Senator Holman's case, you might be talking about a great deal of time that would have to go forward. Now, you and I both know that the public was extremely upset because of the amount of time it took for Senator Holman to be expelled, because the legislature had to sit and do things in an orderly manner. Now, I'm not criticizing what the legislature did, but you know that the citizens of this state were very critical of what occurred. Now, with this type of setup that you have in this piece of legislation, the citizens are probably going to be even more concerned, because you will have, first, a very confidential, secret commission investigation and decision process, and then you will then again have to go through the whole same process that you went through with Senator Holman before. So you're not cutting anything out, you're not making things simpler for yourself, you seem to be complicating matters. But the other thing that concerns me as a citizen is this: if I as a citizen decide to run for the legislature, I would like to know before I run, what can I do and what can't I do? What do I have to expect? When do I have to get rid of something, or when can I continue to own a piece of stock? When can I continue to be an owner in a bank or a director in a bank? The problem here is that there's nothing here that really says what I can expect. I have to wait until this commission makes a decision. And I really think that you're not really being fair to the legislators themselves. I think in fairness, the citizens who become legislators are really giving a lot of their time, and as Senator Fakes pointed out, it's not very lucrative time for most of them. And you have to, in fairness to them, give them the foreknowledge so that they don't get themselves into problems. I believe strongly that regardless of the way the public has perceived the legislators, that the legislators, by and large, are citizen legislators who are really anxious to do a good job. And I'm concerned that if you have this ethics commission set up, that a legislator will not have the foreknowledge to be able to protect himself and his family and do an adequate job for the legislature. I appreciate the time that you have given me. Again, I would like to emphasize that this is an important piece of legislation, that while on its surface many parts of it seem very, very attractive and certainly make you feel like you have accomplished something and may even make the public feel that way, it is too important, in my opinion and in the opinion of the Free Committee, to act quickly. And while I recognize that the Attorney General has indicated to you that they want something on the books, I say to you that you are the legislature. You make the policy. And you are the one who set up the rules for the Attorney General. I believe very strongly that the legislature has a duty to itself and to the public to make sure that on an issue that affects all of us, that they adequately address this. And that means that I think that every legislator and the citizen should have an opportunity to digest this piece of legislation and look at the effects it'll have on each of them and be able to comment on it. And I thank you for this opportunity.
This is, of course, why we're holding the hearing, Sherry, and thank you very much for your comments. Next is Mark Higgins.
You're on a tight ship,
Fisher.
I like that. I'm real loose today.
Mark Higgins is only to observe. Next we have Darlene Holt.
Please go ahead, Darlene.
Higgins
is an observer.
Yeah, Darlene Holt.
I wish they'd mark it.
Good evening. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me. I came really as an observer
except for one thing. I became very upset to find that we didn't have a five-day notice on this meeting. But you did not give people the opportunity. And we just had that put in last year, and hopefully I was thinking that it would be abided by, but apparently not, because I noticed in the House version, which doesn't have a number yet, that they're trying to cut it down to three already.
What?
Darlene, I might explain.
So, I'm not that...
Darlene, would you like to have a response to that?
Fine.
Okay. The legislation did have a five-day notice for a committee hearing that is scheduled in Juneau for tomorrow afternoon. Upon further consideration, we decided, as Sherry suggested, this is an issue that has to be looked at by people in general, and therefore we decided to schedule a prior teleconference hearing. Initially, we thought of doing a teleconference later, before the committee even started looking at the bill, but the opinion was that we should hear from the public, and I think the discussion so far has been very interesting, very revealing, and will facilitate the committee's deliberation tomorrow in regular hearing. Tonight was, tonight from our standpoint, afternoon for you, was basically a teleconference to have initial responses rather than having been scheduled as a formal hearing. So therefore, the five-day notice was properly given for consideration of this legislation. And Randy Phillips has a further comment.
The House State Affairs Committee will be taking up this bill, not the House companion bill, next Tuesday. And I think they meet at 1:30 in the afternoon Pacific Standard Time.
Darlene, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Well, of course, that was my concern. In fact, it looks like it's being pushed through so fast, the House concurrent resolution doesn't even have a number on it. So that makes me highly nervous. And I have to concur with Cherie Jacobus that I would much rather see us take a lot more time on this and let the public have the input, because in the case of the meeting tonight, I'm sure that a lot of them didn't see it, but it was not in the teleconference brochure, which means that there was no prior notice for them to get it in there, and it was just a small piece of the paper that could have easily been overlooked. And I'm sure that probably this did, in fact, happen. The other thing I'd like to reiterate is that the first thing I thought of is, oh, no, another layer of bureaucracy, and that is a concern. I also heard a number of comments tonight that referred back to the Attorney General, and that bothers me because he shouldn't be making the policy. He should only be implementing it, and I don't know what he's doing in this.
Well, I might mention just on the last one, the Attorney General interprets the laws and prosecutes those who violate the laws, and the Attorney General has advise the legislature and the governor and all the department heads that the existing common law is very, very strict, is much stricter than has been enforced so far, and that many of the activities currently being common practice are completely illegal, and that unless the legislature acts to deal with them by statute, he will have to apply the common law, and things will be much tougher and much stricter than you or anyone might imagine. And this is one reason why there isn't a very serious urgency to all this. And Randy Phillips wishes to add something else here.
Ma'am, I have a question here to ask of you. You mentioned something about a House concurrent resolution. You're probably looking at a work draft. Can you tell me in the upper right-hand corner what the date is on that?
This one is dated 4/13 by Phillips. It must have been yours, Randy, I would guess.
Okay, now that is just, you're looking at a work draft, and that's just like, you know, scratching on a sheet of paper, and that's what we work for on it, and I believe that's the code of ethics, is that right?
Yes, just proposing certain amendments to uniform rules of the last state legislature.
Okay. We had the meeting on the 14th, and we just got the final draft and had, today, and I know Senator Fakes and I just received it today, and we hadn't had a chance to look at it again. However, it will be, you know, introduced, and it's going to go through at least three committees on the House side, and I know it's going to probably go through three committees here. So I think the public's going to have plenty of time to comment on any of the changes we make in the conflict of interest, uniform rules, or the Code of Ethics.
I was just referring to that because of the feeling that it's being pushed through without enough prior advanced knowledge of it going on and without the public input. Thank you for your time.
Darlene Holt.
Darlene, let me cue you that this is going to probably be the single most piece of legislation that will receive everybody's attention in the legislature, and I'm sure there's at least two press people here covering it. And believe me, I think the public will be well aware of what's going on once we start acting on it on the floor of the House or the Senate.
Darlene, in any case, thank you very much for your views. Is there anyone else in Anchorage who wishes to be heard at this time?
There are no other persons that wish to testify in Anchorage.
Thank you, Anchorage. Is there anyone else anywhere who wishes to testify at this time?
Not Theta Pittman? What happened to Theta?
She didn't want to testify.
Oh,
what?
Theta, we have popular demand for you to comment on the draft. I can speak from personal experience that during the last legislature, you provided a lot of assistance to the State Affairs Committee then. This is the State Affairs Committee hearing now, and I was wondering if we might prevail on you at this time to give comments.
Well, thank you, Senator. I hope that we are also, the reporters heard you say clearly that about popular demand. It will be difficult for some folks to believe.
Will you speak to us, dear?
Oh, my pleasure. But, there are several areas of general interest. Basically, it's true that I don't have a great deal to say specifically about this particular draft for a couple of reasons. One is the same one that some other people have indicated. Basically, we just started really looking at this language, but it's clear from the reading that there's very little interaction between the Legislative Ethics Committee and the APOC, and so the kinds of things that I would say based on the APOC's perspective, you know, would be things that are minor relative to some of the issues you're discussing tonight. Minor things like if you have a provision that requires that the information about loan applications be put in the conflict of interest statements on file with the APOC, there are no legislative employees that are required to file conflict of interest statements, and to my knowledge, the only proposal for that is Senator Bennett's SB 95, which I think covers four individuals. But frankly, I mean, I consider that to be relatively minor in comparison to some of the other things you're talking about.
Theda, will you be providing the committee with the more detailed comments, even if they're minor?
Oh, yeah, sure, I'd be glad to do so. And I'm also, it's also the case that my perception of the process is that if in the future you're moving towards language or bills or statutes that will cover appointed officials, state employees, and perhaps even at the municipal level, that there would continue to be some discussion about the possibility that the commission would have a role to play in administering that kind of legislation. And I'm not presuming one way or another how your decision might turn out, but I suspect that as in the past, there may be some drafts that will propose that a separate entity not be created if we're going to be talking about state employees and municipal people. And so really, the kind of thing I'm doing right now is trying to get familiar with the ballpark. I'm real interested in your rationale and your questions about what you're doing now, because there will be, again, I would presume, things having to do with stuff like gifts, representation before agencies, those kinds of provisions. And I'm quite willing to make whatever I have available at this point available to you I certainly don't have any problem with that. I just don't see the point at which the commission is going to say very much about this draft other than on the general principle. I would like to make a comment about the references to not having an impact on the criminal provisions of AS 3950. Those items may still be there, but I would like to advise you that the commission's counsel, and we've been very fortunate in having some very fine counsel from the AG's office that's worked with the commission for a number of years, has continued to say that that language in 3950 with regard to criminal provisions is not very specific. It's wide open, and depending on a specific situation that might come up, it could be, quote-unquote, void for its vagueness. And so it makes me a little nervous if people are relying upon some pre-existing criminal provisions, thinking that those are capable of being more effective than they really are. And I guess I'm just, like a lot of people, presuming that when the courts make a decision on the Dankworth case, we'll know something about at least one provision of those criminals.
Right. Thank you very much, Theda. We will be looking at taking a further look at the criminal statute. Senator Fates has some information already compiled in that. The Attorney General's office has provided information, and we hope to be pursuing that. Thank you very much, Theda. And this applies to everyone and anyone. If you have any additional comments or if you want to submit any written testimony, please send it to us, to the State Affairs Committee, Senate State Affairs Committee in Juneau, and you can send it through the Legislative Information Office. They can telecopy it to us, and we'll have it almost instantly. Thank you very much. Thanks to all participants. This has been a very good hearing, and at this point, good night to all.
This is the primary moderator in Juneau. Don had to leave. For Anchorage.